Before we get into today's podcast, I want to offer you a powerful free resource. We often hear from listeners looking for answers to those who claim God cannot exist for a variety of scientific reasons. But science actually supports the existence of God, which is why I want to offer you a free download called God's Not Dead. It explores scientifically how our own cosmos points to a creator in three clear areas. Again, this powerful resource is yours absolutely free, so why not download God's Not Dead for free right now at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, here's today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
Over the next few episodes, we're going to be looking at C.S. Lewis as a spiritual mentor, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined once again by Professor Alistair McGrath, who, like Lewis, was raised in Northern Ireland. He came to faith from atheism, studied at Oxford University, and went on to become a professor there. Alistair has written numerous books on C.S. Lewis, including a seminal biography, C.S. Lewis, A Life. Lewis advocated for an integrated view of knowledge, suggesting that many different disciplines, science, literature, philosophy, theology, can offer complementary perspectives on reality. Obviously, many of us are not as well read or academic as Lewis or you, Alistair, but is it possible for us to achieve at least a semblance of the level of coherence in our own lives through this, through looking at different disciplines, or at least understanding a tiny bit of other disciplines, do you think?
Well, I think the answer is yes, you can. It's not necessary. I want to emphasize that point, but nevertheless, it can be very helpful, especially if you're in a teaching or a research environment where you might well say, look, I'm a physicist. I'm also a Christian. I want to find out how these link to each other. And Lewis will say very, very explicitly, look, there are lots of connections you can make that will deepen your faith and also bring a spiritual depth to your study of physics. So it is something that can be done. And Lewis uses this idea of a big picture to say, look, there's a complex landscape, but actually, when you begin to see it, you can see how things hold together. You can make those links. For example, you can see your physics as being one perspective on life, your faith being a different perspective. One of them tells you about how things work, the other about what things really mean. But you need both of those. It's like, wearing spectacles. You know, if you look through two lenses, you get stereoscopic vision, you get depth. There's physics, there's faith. They allow you to see the same world, but with much greater depth. So certainly it's something you can do. And that's, again, is where Lewis would say traveling companions come in. When I was an atheist myself who became a Christian, I was studying chemistry at Oxford. And I remember the then professor of theoretical chemistry, a man called Charles Coulson, who was a very well-known Christian writer, in effect sharing with me the way he held together his chemistry and his faith. And actually, that's done me ever since. I've revised it and expanded it, but basically he planted the vision for this. And you need traveling companions to help you do the same as well. And in fact, you may even become someone who helps others to do that as well. So yes, it really helps people to figure out how they hold different aspects of their lives together. And also it equips you to be able to help other people to do this as well.
Now, are there any traveling companions that Lewis would recommend, or indeed that you would recommend other than Lewis, to be able to help us to do this?
Well, Lewis is very clear that there were lots of traveling companions. He was very, very fond of reading G.K. Chesterton, and indeed found in his writings reasons that helped him to move away from atheism and come to faith. But Chesterton is very, very good because, again, he's someone who said, look, I want to explore and explain why Christianity makes much better sense of this world than other worldviews. And he says, look, I'm going to, in effect, use this idea that Christianity is a hypothesis. If it's right, how does it work? And Chesterton, in effect, said, look, it's not just that Christianity is right in its individual details. It's that when you put its various bits together, it's a much more satisfying whole than any alternative. And it gives you a way of looking at everything else and you suddenly see what's there. So for Lewis, G.K. Chesterton was very helpful, but Lewis goes much further back. He loved reading George MacDonald with those beautiful fairy tales. He loved George Herbert. He loved Dante. And there are many other writers he enjoyed, like J.R.R. Tolkien, who again uses a lot this idea of a journey through life. We are trying to find out not simply where you're going, but who you really are. And very often it's by journeying that you discover who you really are.
Alistair, we've spoken in a previous episode about story and the importance of fiction in conveying important big ideas. So how did Lewis use metaphor, analogy, supposal, story, I suppose, to help to convey the big picture?
I think Lewis's basic point is that a big picture is almost by definition something immense, very, very big, and therefore it's perhaps easiest to begin with individual parts. And so what Lewis very often do will be to say, here's one aspect of this, here's a different aspect of this, and gradually begin to weave them together into a greater whole. So if you like, Lewis's method is not to say, here's the big picture, let's study it. It's to try and appreciate its different elements and then work out how you bring them together and the satisfaction you get from weaving together these threads and seeing a pattern begin to appear. So if you like, Lewis is saying, begin with the small detail and then weave them together.
Alistair, what do you think Lewis would make of public figures, perhaps like Tom Holland, the historian, not Spider-Man, just to be clear, Jordan Peterson, Douglas Murray, who speak about the positive impact of the Christian story on society, even though they might not necessarily call themselves Christians, or at least they perhaps weren't when they started espousing these ideas of Christianity being a positive impact?
Well, I think you've named three very important people. We could add more, but those three will do us very, very well. Because what they are saying is, here are some of the things that Christianity does for us. You know, Jordan Peterson is very, very clear, gives a sense of coping with the incoherence. That's very, very important. Tom Holland makes the point that Christianity is really quite good for personal identity and various things like that. And we could go on. What C.S. Lewis would say, well, look, these virtues don't come from nowhere. They emerge because there is this bigger picture beneath them. If you like, what you are doing is you're looking at a tree and saying the fruit is really nice, but you're ignoring the tree. And what Lewis is saying is that Christianity is this rich, deep and satisfying vision of life, which delivers these things you are looking for, but is able to, in effect, not simply deliver them, but deliver other things as well. And they are all interconnected aspects of a greater whole.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
Did you know that this month marks the fourth anniversary of Premier Insight, the ministry that brings you this podcast? While it's a real season of celebration, there's also a very real financial challenge that must be met this month. Due to rising costs and the pressure of inflation, there's a $35,000 gap that must be closed this month to keep Premier Insight moving forward with strength. That's why I'm asking you to give a special anniversary gift to keep programs like this podcast on the air and equip a generation of Christians to live out their faith with clarity, conviction, and confidence. Simply go to premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. Thank you for your support.
Since 2016, the Premier Gospel Awards has celebrated the heart and soul of gospel music. Now, in 2024, powered by Compassion UK and live from London's iconic Royal Festival Hall, we're bringing you our biggest and best show yet. Join us on Saturday, September 21st, for an unforgettable night of special guests and live performances from the biggest names in the UK, USA, Africa, and more. Last year's event sold out fast, so don't wait to grab your ticket. Buy now at premiergospelawards.org.uk. The biggest ever Premier Gospel Awards. It's the culture, it's the message, it's the music.
the C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Alistair, I did actually get another question in from someone over Twitter around Jordan Peterson specifically. So I might, if it's okay, I might ask you this question because it was a really interesting one and it relates to Jordan Peterson. It's from Marcus. He says, how does the work of Jordan Peterson, especially evolutionary psychology, compare and contrast with Lewis's work on the Tao and universal imitations of morality? And then he goes on to say, how do we argue for morality rather than just utility in that respect? A moral law immanent and transcendent?
Well, that's a very good question, Marcus. Thank you very much for raising it. I mean, you're right. I mean, in many ways, what Jordan Peterson and C.S. Lewis are both saying is there is this deep underlying reality. Lewis calls it Tao, and that's in The Abolition of Man. And Jordan Peterson is quite right to say that we're not really inventing something. We're discovering something that actually really is there. So that's a very important point. And actually, when we discern this, we're able to find a way of holding things together. We need, in Peterson's view, rules to be able to actually manage this. Peterson is far stronger on rules than C.S. Lewis is. Lewis is saying, really appreciate the big picture and figure it out yourself. Jordan Peterson is saying we need these rules to really help us put these things together. What I would say is that what Christianity is saying is that if Peterson is right, that these fundamental things do good things for us, we need to realize these things come from somewhere. They're not just arbitrary. And Lewis's argument is that these are part of, if you like, the deep human sense of justice and things that have been planted in us at creation, which we may from time to time distort or get wrong, but they're still there. We have this deep longing to do what is right. I think that's a very important point to make. But Lewis, I think, would go a stage further and say that it's not just these are useful. Actually, the word good is appropriate because they are not things we've invented and suddenly said, hey, these work, therefore we're going to use them. He's saying, Lewis is saying they're built into the deep structure of reality, which a Christian big picture gives you. So actually, I've talked to some people who very much enjoyed reading Jordan Peterson. And just saying, I'm wondering though, if there's something deeper that lies behind what he's saying. What they mean by that is, again, exactly the language you've been using. Is there a bigger picture which Peterson is echoing, but actually only giving us a little bit of? I think Lewis would say, look, when you discover the big picture, it's as if everything else fits into place. It's like, you know, when I was young, I used to enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles. I wasn't very good at this, but very often, you know, the jigsaw puzzle came in a box, and on the box was a picture of what it ought to look like. I could see where everything went. And I think if I can use that analogy, Peterson, in effect, you know, doesn't really see a big picture, but he sees some bits of it that are really helpful. Lewis is saying, no, there's a bigger picture. When you see that, those bits are still useful, but you suddenly realize they're part of something bigger, so you discover that as well. And these things are not just useful pragmatically, they're actually part of what it means to authentically be a human being.
So do you think Lewis would want to add then to the likes of Tom Holland, Douglas Murray and Jordan Peterson and effectively say they've not gone far enough, that what they're saying is true, but there's even more to what they're saying?
Lewis is simply saying they're walking down a road and that's great. Let's keep going. There's more to discover. So he'd be sympathetic, but at the same time saying, you know, we are journeying. And when you get to journey's end, you suddenly say, ah, that's why that works.
So what would Lewis say then, perhaps, to people who have been reading Holland, Murray, Peterson and are intrigued by the impact of Christianity, but are yet to discover the truth of it, yet to discover the big picture? Is there anything he'd want to say to those people who are not believers but can see the value of Christianity?
I think Lewis would almost certainly say this is great, you know, this is really good, but it's really like saying you found the outcome, but the outcome reflects its source. So why not try the source as well and see what other outcomes there might be that you haven't discovered yet? In other words, Lewis would want to say, this is a great start, but there's plenty more to do, lots of exciting things to discover. And when you go back to the source, you'll find there's so much more to discover, but also that from the standpoint of the source, the good outcomes actually make a lot more sense.
Alistair, if we want to go somewhere to find out more about what Lewis is saying about big picture, how we make sense of all of this, how our stories fit into this big picture, where are some of the best places to go?
Let me give you three places you could go. One of them is Lewis's last book, The Discarded Image. It's a series of lectures he gave at Oxford and Cambridge, really looking at the ways of thinking about the universe that happened in the Renaissance. And what Lewis is saying is we've left that behind, but let's understand they helped us to see coherence, purpose, and meaning. And the important point about the book really is how important those things are to us. If physical cosmology does not give us those things, where do we get them? Well, Lewis's answer is Christianity gives you that big picture, which allows you to discover those. That's the first point to make. The second point is that Lewis's very interesting essay, which really began as a speech at the Socratic Club in Oxford in 1945, called Is Theology Poetry? Again, is theology poetry? That in many ways is Lewis saying, look, Christianity has this ability to bring things together, to unite them, to thread them all together. And it ends with that very famous quote, which is, I believe in Christianity, so I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. So that's worth looking at. It's in most of the big collections of Lewis's essays. But you might also look at Mere Christianity, particularly the opening chapters, which in many ways are trying to say, look, we observe these things, and they're interesting, aren't they? The idea of a moral law and thing. But if we track those back, where do they take us? And if we then step back and look in that direction, what additional insights do we get? So Mere Christianity might be a very good place to go just to give yourself a framework to move that discussion ahead.
Alistair, we've spoken about mental health. We've spoken about the anxiety around lack of coherence. How does having a better understanding of a big picture, a clear understanding of a big picture, give us hope in this world?
Well, it does it in several ways. Let me just talk you through the easiest ways of doing it. It's saying, look, we live in a multi-threaded world, and sometimes we are overwhelmed by the number of threads and just feel that they're not going anywhere. There's no pattern. Lewis is saying you need some sort of intellectual or imaginative loom to weave these together. That's what Christianity is. It weaves the threads together. You see the pattern. And that means you suddenly say, right, there is a big picture. Now I can live meaningfully in this world. That's a very important point. Second point Lewis would make is, look, other people have discovered this too. By talking to them, you can begin to deepen your own understanding of this and perhaps also see how somebody else puts this together and how it works for them. And very often that will add to the quality of what you yourself have. But the third way is a way we just touched on earlier, actually, which is the idea of, particularly medieval literature, but it's all over the place, of people journeying and making discoveries. In other words, they weren't sure if there was a path. And then things happened, which meant they found a path and began to work out, this is the right path, it's taking me in these directions. In other words, it's about people saying, here's how I find a path. It might be Dante or John Bunyan helping you here, or it might be more recent books, which are talking about people losing their way and then finding them again. Marilyn Robinson, actually, is someone you might read on that.
Alistair, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure again, Ruth. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @PremierUnbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @Premier.Unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Since 2016, the Premier Gospel Awards has celebrated the heart and soul of gospel music. Now, in 2024, powered by Compassion UK and live from London's iconic Royal Festival Hall, we're bringing you our biggest and best show yet. Join us on Saturday, September 21st, for an unforgettable night of special guests and live performances from the biggest names in the UK, USA, Africa, and more. Last year's event sold out fast, so don't wait to grab your ticket. Buy now at premiergospelawards.org.uk. The biggest ever Premier Gospel Awards. It's the culture. It's the message. It's the music.